taken away on death's cruel tree. You would be atonement for sinners as I am. The cross of Calvary would die Mary's little lamb. He left this world to suffer, bleed, and die for you and for me. He was crucified, yet not a word did he speak as he died there for all men. Such an awesome price was paid there by Mary's little lamb. And Mary had a little little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, and he washed us white as snow, and he washes all my sins away, my sins away, my sins away. He washes all my sins away in Calvary's crimson flow. From the grave they placed your body in a borrowed tomb, but hope would not be lost as Mary spread the news. Christ in victory conquered sin and death, and in strength and power and glory will come Mary's risen lamb. And Mary had a little lamb, a little God's little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, and he washed us white as snow, and he washes all my sins away, my sins away, my sins away. He washes all my sins away in Calvary's crimson flow.
Open your Bibles tonight. It's hard to get to that thing when it's off and it's under some things. We won't go there. Hi, Jamin. Good to see you, son. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I want to speak tonight on this subject, how a Christian should face heartaches. You say, preacher, this is the Wednesday night before Christmas and you're dealing with something like this. There's a reason I'm dealing with it tonight. How a Christian should face and handle or deal with heartaches. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, with the chief priest and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayeth him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, whom hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and he kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Heavenly Father, help me tonight as we think on the subject of how we as Christians should deal with our heartaches and our trials and our burdens. Every one of us have them at one time or another. Lord, it sure would help us to know biblically how to deal with them, how to face them. So teach us tonight from your word and by your example how we might learn this important lesson in order that we might be victorious Christians in this day when there's more victims than victors. And fill me with thy spirit and speak through me and use me, and we'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but it's a fact that in America, at this time of the year, Christmas season, there's an increase in the stress levels in many individuals. In fact, there's also an increase in suicides during the time known as the Christmas season. Well, heartaches are as prevalent among professing Christians as they are among non-Christians. And there's a reason for that. We're still sinners saved by grace. We still live in a body of flesh. We still face temptations, and we still must make choices. And our life as a Christian has to do to a great extent with the choices we make and the circumstances that accompany them. Many of the things, many of the problems in our lives and our families right now are because of foolish choices and foolish decisions that we've made. We can't expect to do wrong and expect it to turn out right. You can't expect to always be critical and expect everybody to love you. So we've got to learn how to deal with the heartaches. We live in a sinful world where Satan is our enemy and an enemy to God and would love nothing better than to rob God of our life and the glory our life could bring unto Him. So heartaches are prevalent among professing Christians just as they are among non-Christians. But God teaches us in His Word how to deal with every type of situation in our life. You know, He teaches us three different ways. He teaches us in some ways, some places, by direct statement. He just tells us in His Word, "Thus saith the Lord, this is how you deal with it." In other places, He will teach us by example. The lesson we have tonight is kind of like the lesson He teaches us when He was in the wilderness tempted by Satan. He taught us by example how to deal with temptation and how to defeat Satan. And tonight He teaches us by example how to deal with heartaches and burdens and trials. Then He teaches us by principle also. Not every individual little sin by name is and problem and circumstance of life is dealt with by name in the Bible. But He teaches us principles that will cover all of these many, many multitudes of different situations and circumstances that we must face in our life. However, we have some Christians that think they learn by osmosis if they'll just have a Bible in their house. Hopefully, some of it will ooze out of the Bible and into their mind. Some of you perhaps even sleep on your Bible under your pillow, hoping that your head will be filled with biblical knowledge. But it doesn't work that way. If you're going to learn God's truth and God's principles and God's ways, then you've got to do two things. You've got to put yourself in the place where you can be taught and preached to from the Word of God. That's the reason a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church is so important to the Christian life. You'll never find a great Christian that does not take advantage of membership in a Bible-believing, Christ-honoring, preaching, teaching church. Then the second way, and by the way, faith does come by hearing, God said, and hearing by the Word of God. The second way we learn is we learn by reading and studying the Word of God ourselves. That leads me to say quickly, we can understand why so many people keep going through the same problems. Because they don't avail themselves to the preaching and teaching of the Word, and they certainly don't give up their time to read it or to study it. Jesus teaches us by using all three methods how Christians should face heartaches. And tonight I'd like to point out four facts seen in the story of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, how He dealt with the greatest heartache of all time. See, Jesus had to deal with the heartache of betrayal by a close associate. He dealt with a heartache of unconcern and indifference by those who were closest to Him. He dealt with a heartache of bearing the heaviest burden ever known to man, the sin of the whole world. He dealt with a heartache of Satan's personal attack against Him as the Son of God. He dealt with a heartache of personal suffering. I want to give you four simple facts that'll help you and me to learn how to deal with heartaches in our Christian life. Fact number one, in our time of heartaches, we must never lose sight of the fact that God's still in control. We must never lose sight of the fact that God is still in control. Look, if you will, in verse number 39. Jesus went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thou wilt. Jesus acknowledged the fact that he was there for a purpose. He acknowledged the fact that God was in control. And he put himself in the hands of God. Not my will, but thine be done. No matter how dark or bleak the circumstances may seem, God is still in control. God is carrying out his plan and purpose for your life. And your choice in that time of heartache and trial will determine the result. God's plan for Jesus was that he was to come into this world to fulfill scriptural prophecy and to die for our sins. That was God's plan. And Jesus never lost sight of the fact that God was still in control. There's no shortcuts, folks. There's no shortcuts. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he said, no, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He never lost sight of the plan and the purpose of God. God has a plan and purpose for your life as well. He knows what is needed to prepare you and me for his plan and for his purpose. And he's allowed the current heartaches because, number one, perhaps there's sin in your life that must be dealt with. You must get it right before he can use you and bless you in his plan and purpose for your life. That may be why you're going through the heartaches. It may be chastisement. Or you may be a faithful Christian. Jesus didn't have sin in his life. He was holy and undefiled. But yet, he was going through heartaches. It may be God's allowing you to go through heartaches, not because of sin in your life, but he's trying to teach you and grow you and prepare you so you can do his perfect will in your life. Jesus could have called legions of angels and delivered himself from the cross. He could have spoken. He didn't even have to speak. He could have thought it and opened up the earth and swallowed all of them up into hell. But he didn't. He understood the will of God and the purpose of God in his life. And it involved heartaches. It involved some trials. But he never lost sight of the fact that God was still in control, even though he was hurting and suffering. My dear friend, you must not lose sight of the fact. Whatever the reason, God's still in charge. Your disobedience and my disobedience does not push God off of the throne. He's still in control. And remember, God, who has enough grace to put you into your present situation, has enough grace to pull you out of your situation. Don't lose sight of who's in control. It's not you, it's God. Be willing to submit to him and yield to him. Realize he has a plan and purpose for your life. Do you understand this one that was praying was God? God was the Son was praying to God the Father. and yet all power dwelt in him. But he recognized the plan and purpose of God. He was born in Bethlehem's manger in order that God might become flesh, so the God-man could die in our place. And even though the circumstances were bleak, one of his closest associates betrayed him. Those who were closest to him in his hour of greatest burden, heaviest burden, were indifferent and unconcerned about his suffering and his heartache. They slept while he was praying. There's Baptist. He dealt with the heartache of bearing the heaviest burden in the whole world. Why, there on his face, already the burden of sin was heavy upon him, and his body was in such stress that he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. Blood oozed from the pores of his skin. You've never had a heartache and a burden like that. He dealt with the heartache of Satan's personal attack. Someone said, what do you think he meant when he was saying, God, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me? I don't think he was praying to excuse himself from the cross. I think Satan was trying to kill him before he got to the cross. And then, he dealt with the heartache of personal suffering. Many of you carry a burden with you, a physical infirmity, a sickness you'll deal with the rest of your life. No matter how bad it is, it's not as bad as the suffering Jesus went through for us. And yet, we need to remember in times of our heartaches, we must never lose sight of the fact that God is still in control. You might say, man, Calvary is the most horrible, horrible scene in human history. Yes, but God was still in control. Don't you lose sight of that. Oh, you said those angry Jews and those Romans, they crucified him. Yeah, God allowed it. He was still in control. May I say, in your present situation tonight, God has not lost sight of your burden, your heartache. It's not beyond His hands and His capability. You must not lose sight that God is still God and He's still in charge. He's still under control. He's still in control. Secondly, always refuse to allow the flesh to respond to your heartaches. Now, I promise you, here's where the average Christian gets in trouble. We don't get in trouble because we have heartaches. We get in trouble because we allow the flesh to respond instead of responding spiritually. I know what some of you had done when Judas came up and betrayed you. You'd have wanted to deck him. Flesh. When that soldier laid hand on you, you'd started fighting. Flesh. When you walked out there with the burden of the world on your shoulders, thinking that your best friends, your disciples, your closest associates would be praying for you, and you find them sleeping three times, you would have said, you bunch of sorry, backslidden bums, no good. Get out of here, flesh. But if you're going to deal with heartaches biblically and spiritually so that you become a victor and not a victim, you must refuse to allow the flesh to respond to your heartaches. Look at verse 41. Jesus saw them sleeping. He finds them asleep, and he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When flesh responds to heartaches, the next step is yielding to temptation. Flesh is always weak when it comes to heartaches and temptation. Four facts about flesh and heartaches. Flesh, three facts. Flesh gets hurt. Flesh gets hurt. When flesh is hurt, it's useless. When flesh is hurt, it pulls back and has a pity party. You know, like some of you, when your feelings get hurt, that's your flesh. When you are easily offended, that's your flesh. You quit. You pull back. You stop. You criticize. You point fingers. Flesh. Flesh gets hurt, and then it's useless. And by the way, a Christian has no business running around with a chip on his shoulder. Somebody will knock it off. God tells us to bear a cross on our shoulder. And when we're dead to self, our feelings are dead too. Flesh gets hurt and is useless. Flesh gets hard and becomes insensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Some of you are dealing with that right now. You've allowed your flesh to hurt, and you've not dealt with it. You've not gotten right about it. And hurt flesh results in a hardened heart. When our heart gets hard, we're not sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Preaching no longer brings conviction. We no longer feel a need to kneel at an altar and deal with our sin anymore. In fact, hurt feelings and hard hearts don't even see our sin anymore. We see everybody else's, but we don't see ours. And flesh gets hurt and is useless. Flesh gets hard and becomes insensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. And flesh gets hateful and causes hurt in others in the cause of Christ. Flesh gets hateful. You get hurt, you get hard, next step is hateful. And the Bible says, Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder in your heart already. The Holy Spirit is willing to help us and to guide us through our heartaches if we'll not yield to the flesh, and we will yield to God's will and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget for even a moment that God puts us in our dark places to develop us. Just like the photographer puts takes the film into the dark room to develop it. Thirdly, in times of heartaches, resolve to stay with God no matter what others may do. In times of heartaches, resolve to stay with God no matter what others will do. Jesus did not excuse himself from God's plan or purpose. With the heartache of the world upon him, the sin of the world upon him, he stayed with God. He said, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He stayed with God. He accepted the heartaches and suffering and yielded himself to the plan and the will of God. Verse 42 says, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. I'm willing to stay with God in God's plan, even if it goes to an old rugged cross where men will spat upon me and stick a spear in my side, put nails in my hands and feet, crown me with thorns and mock me. and where I die with the sin of the whole world upon me. I'm sticking with God. Not my will, but thine be done. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Ah, but that's Jesus. Yeah, but don't you forget, not only was he all God as if he was never man, he also was all man as though he wasn't God. He hurt, he thirsted, he suffered, he felt, he wept, he hungered, he got tired. My, my. Stay with God through your heartaches, no matter what everybody else does. The disciples followed afar off. Judas betrayed him. The thousands that had followed him because he had preached some hard messages, they left him and walked with him no more. But Jesus said, God, I know your plan and purpose for my life. I'm staying with you. Not my will, thine be done. Now I want you to know you'll never go through such heartaches or trials as Jesus went through. You'll face heartaches and trials, but they'll never be to this extent. But the answer is still the same. Don't allow your flesh to respond to the heartaches and resolve to stay with God no matter what others do. If God allowed you to go through these present heartaches, then he has a purpose for them that will end up for our good and for God's glory if we'll just stay with God and stay right no matter what everybody else does. Fourthly, if you're going to deal with your heartaches as a Christian, then like Jesus, you must learn to return forgiveness to those who hurt or wronged you. You must learn, this is getting hard, isn't it? You must learn to extend or return forgiveness to those who hurt or wronged you. If you don't, you're never going to get over your heartache. That old heartache's going to just increase the hurt. It's going to harden your heart. It's going to cause you to hate. And things you won't forgive. And then you become more like the devil's crowd than God's child. And God said, if you won't forgive those that trespass against you, I won't forgive you when you ask me to. Learn to forgive those that hurt or wrong you. Jesus, who had the power to again to open up the earth and swallow Judas as he did with Korah and his followers, did not revile Judas when he came. He knew why he was coming. He laid the kiss on his cheek, the kiss of betrayal. And Jesus called him friend. He didn't curse him. He didn't zap him. He called him friend. You say, preacher, this is hard. I didn't say it's easy. But it's right. If you want to stay right, if your heart wants to stay tender, if you want to be a real, usable, Christ-honoring Christian, you better learn those four principles. Learn to forgive. What do you do when people hurt you? What do you do when people offend you? Do you respond in the spirit or in the flesh? Do you bristle? Or do you forgive them? Do you try to scratch their eyes out? Or do you look for ways to extend a hand of forgiveness? said, "Preacher, that's just not normal. Christianity is not normal. Being saved is not the normal thing. It's a supernatural thing." I'm not talking about living the normal life. If you want to live the normal life, that's the natural life. That's the life of the flesh. I'm talking about living above that realm, living as children of God. When they nailed Jesus to the cross, after all the lies and the beatings and the spittle and the mockery, a spear that had pierced his side, Jesus didn't curse them. He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Now, let me say to you tonight, we're going to have heartaches and trials in this life. There's no getting around that fact. We're going to have them in our life. We're going to have heartaches connected with our family. We're going to have heartaches in our marriages. We're going to have heartaches in our ministries. How you deal with them will determine whether you end up a victor or a victim. Whether you end up blessed or blasted. Whether you end up a blessing or a blister to the cause of Christ. I would advise you to learn these four principles and use them like Jesus did. Deal with your heartaches like Jesus dealt with His. And I'll suggest to you, you'll have heaven's help in dealing with them and getting through them. God will not forsake you. He'll help you. He'll comfort you. He'll bless you as you are faithful through your heartaches, dealing with them biblically. Using Christ as your example. How you deal with your heartaches and trials will determine how God will deal with you in the future. Will He put you on the shelf as unusable because you got hurt? Then you got hard? Then you got hateful? Or will you deal with them? Deal biblically with those that offended you. Forgive them. Stay with God. Realize He's got a plan and purpose for your life. Even the heartache can be used for our good and God's glory if we'll stay with God. Have a right spirit about it. God can turn it for our good and His glory. If we don't, we'll end up on the shelf. Will become that castaway that Paul feared becoming. You know what God did to Jesus as He went through these heartaches and dealt with them, as we've talked about tonight? God exalted Him. He exalted Him. You say, "But He died." Yes, but He rose again. And was exalted to the right hand of the Father. Now, God won't make a little Jesus out of you. We'll never become gods. But that's not God's will, that we become gods. God just wants us to live like Christians and let people see Jesus in our life. When we learn to use these principles, we'll become more and more Christ-like as we deal with others. And by the way, that's why we're here. For others. And if you don't learn how to deal with others, you're not going to be much use to God. "Well, bless God, they hurt me. I'll just withdraw and become a recluse and won't go to church anymore." Well, you're useless. Worthless. Foolish. God put you here to be a light to others, to be an example to others, to be His ambassador. He wants others to follow you as you follow Christ. Some are going to learn how to deal with their heartaches by watching you as a Christian deal with yours, and you're either going to lead them into the same ditch you're in, or you're going to lead them to victory. this current heartache or trial you may be going through may be God's test to determine how He'll use you and bless you in the future. So God, help us to be faithful. God, help us to be faithful. Don't forget the four things. In our time of heartaches, we must never lose sight of the fact that God's still in control. In our time of heartaches, always refuse to allow the flesh to respond. In times of heartaches, resolve to stay with God no matter what others do. And then fourthly, in times of heartaches, like Jesus, we must learn to return forgiveness to those who hurt or wrong us. Father, take this simple Bible lesson tonight and teach us.